Hello and welcome to Space City Nerd, the podcast. This is episode 158. It's been quite a while since you've heard from us, and we'll tell you what we've been doing for a while that we haven't been on. I myself, as a Hispanic, have been hiding from ice. And not the snow kind, because we live in Houston.
This is Ryan. I'm also hiding from ice. Did you know that in Illegal Aliens for Filipinos, it's called TNT? It's called it's a translation for tago ng tago. Tago ng tago means someone who keeps hiding. So they abbreviate that to TNT.
So illegal citizens illegal people are TNTs.
Yeah, which is a double edged sword nowadays. It's kind of weird.
Oh god. Yeah, because what are you gonna blow people up, Ryan?
Is that what you're saying? Yeah, I'm gonna hide. Sorry, NSA. I know you're listening to me.
Rex, what's your excuse for not being on?
I don't get one.
I
haven't been doing anything except for school and work.
Yes, too much privilege.
Basically, I have way too much of that.
No, but in all reality, it's actually even sadder. We've been playing video games, and today's focus on the show is going to be the video games that we've been playing.
Video games.
VG games. It's actually been a really, really amazing time for video games. It's
so much.
It's overwhelming. Like, mm-hmm. We've talked about it a lot, like, over the last couple months in, like, our group chat and stuff. It's just, there's way too much good stuff to keep track of. It's ridiculous.
Like, if I were 13 years old, this would be an amazing time. This is, I think, the Super Nintendo time for kids now.
It definitely feels like that, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think the golden age of video games for me was when I got my first job out of college. I still don't have a lot of responsibilities, but I had real post-college job money, so I bought so many games, and I played so many games. It was great.
It's so good.
Was that around the Dreamcast era?
No. God, I'm not that old. $9.99. It was 2007, you guys.
Oh, yeah, I know you're right. Yeah.
Which is it was a golden age of, like, it was a great year for games, like Assassin's Creed and a bunch of other stuff came out that year.
For me, like, what was in my golden age, but my Dreamcast thing was I was in college, and all I had was a Dreamcast, and I ignored all the more expensive games and all that were around. I played so much Virtual Tennis.
Virtual Tennis is the shit, man. I love it. I played the Part 3 on my Vita. Like, that's the game I have the most time on my Vita.
Well, it's between Power Gem,
Power Stone.
Yeah,
Power Stone, Jet Grind, and then the Virtual Tennis. That's all I played. Mainly Virtual Tennis.
Oh, so Calibur.
No, I didn't play. I was a poor college kid. I couldn't afford that.
No, you could give me a Dreamcast with Soul Calibur. Basically glued into the disc tray, and I will not complain.
Yeah, no, it's so good. Yeah. Also, too, something I've been playing around with a lot lately is Dreamcast emulation on PC. Mm-hmm. And the other day, I played Soul Calibur with, like, the rendering like five times the native rendering. So basically, like 4K, and it looked so good still.
4K Soul Calibur. 4K Keyleek. 4K Maxi, 4K Shanghua. That's good.
Yeah, it was real good.
I got a 1070 not too long ago, so I need to try stuff like that.
Yeah, I've been messing around with emulators more than I've been messing around with modern games, for sure. So,
we were talking about this, but while you have success with Dreamcast, you had no success with Saturn, right?
Yeah, I have not, like, since I updated to Windows 10. I have not been able to get SSF, which is the main, like, Saturn emulator that has the best compatibility. I cannot get it to run. There's another emulator, I cannot remember off the top of me what it's called, that I haven't tried yet, but it doesn't have very good compatibility. And then RetroArch apparently does Saturn now, and I haven't messed with that yet. But SSF will not, like, no matter what I do. I tried for, like, a whole weekend about, like, a month ago, trying to get it to work. I just could not get it to work, and it made me real sad.
Just get a real Saturn, you pleb.
I had one. I don't have one anymore for because of circumstances outside of my control.
Well,
but
I had one,
and I had a binder full of games, and it was
binder
great.
Binder full of games. I mean, yeah, we can get a standard, but the game I want to play, you can't find that. Panzer Dragoon Saga.
Yeah.
That's like the rarest game. In the Saturn lineup.
Someone's got to be able to emulate, like, or burn discs already for that, unlock it or something.
Actually, so you can kind of play backups on the Saturn if you, like, mod it, but the mod chips are really hard to find. But some guy, like, finally, legitimately defeated the copy protection for the Saturn, like, less than a year ago, I want to say, and he's working on a SD loader, I want to say, for it, because the disk drives have a high fail rate. But yeah, the copy protection on Saturn discs was so absurd that it didn't actually, like, get defeated in a way that works consistently 100% of the time until, like,
so it's
less than a year ago.
De novo's grandpappy.
Yeah, basically.
Which is funny because it's totally the opposite of the next console, which is the Dreamcast, which is the easiest
to pirate. I have a whole spindle full of Dreamcast games.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's ridiculous. I mean, I own a lot of Dreamcast games, but man, like, the way to pirate Dreamcast, it's ridiculous.
And the homebrew is so good too. Like, it was the first console I really messed around with homebrew with, and I remember taking way too much time to, like, get Putt-Putt Saves the Zoo running in ScumVM on Dreamcast.
Oh, ScumVM, yeah, I remember.
Well, I mean, we have been busy playing video games. Let's talk a little bit about what we've been playing. First up, Rex, I know you were excited the last time we recorded, and you were talking about how you were going to disappear for a while. You were playing Resident Evil 7. Thoughts?
It's real good. Like, I'm still not done with it, which is frustrating because it's a really short game. I just haven't had, like, too much time to really devote to games recently. But it is exactly what I wanted out of that series since, like, before Resident Evil 4, which, granted, okay, I really actually do like action Resident Evil. I know a lot of people will not agree with me. So I was a little sad to, like, see them not expand on Resident Evil 6, which I feel has, like, the best, third-person shooter gameplay of any game last gen outside of Vanquish. But yeah, no, it's really good. It's very spoopy, which has made it really hard to play sometimes because I haven't really been super scared by a game since Silent Hill 3, probably.
So here's my thing about Resident Evil. I get surprised and jump scares kind of get me, but as someone, like, Silent Hill scares the fuck out of me because it's otherworldly. How the fuck do you stop a fucking demon? That's an embodiment of your guilt, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, these are science zombies. They're science zombies. So I'm like, I'm not too scared, but I'm like, it's still kind of creepy, but, like, yeah, no. Silent Hill is what makes it super scary, as a, you know what I mean, because just them being science zombies.
In the new one, like, I don't know, they got a lot of shit at first for, like, moving it to a first person perspective. Mm-hmm. But it actually really, like, I feel that the first person stuff works a lot better than the fixed camera angles that they used to do as far as building tension goes. Because
You have tunnel vision, right?
Yeah, you have tunnel vision. It's a lot more immersive, and you can't see behind you or really, like, to the sides of you. Apparently in VR, so you get a little bit more, like, a bigger field of view, and it's a lot easier to do those things. But
and you can turn your head a little
bit. Keyboard, yeah, and you can't really, like, do that or lean, so I don't know. It feels more immersive, and the audio design is really great, like the positional audio and stuff. And,
oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. Like that combined with the amount of work that they did on the overall, like, the overall sound effects and everything, really gives it a much freakier atmosphere than any game in the series besides maybe the remake of the first one. Which works out because the villains are not really that scary at all. They're more, especially like Jack Baker, the one that they like. revolved most of the marketing around. He's more funny than anything, and
I couldn't stop laughing at him.
Yeah, like he feels more the whole like family that you're like is the villains in the game. They feel more like something out of Evil Dead 2 than like a prior Resident Evil, and the whole vibe of the game is very Evil Dead 2, but they also managed to make it spooky at the same time, which is really cool because Evil Dead is like the farthest thing from spooky.
That's really funny because I got a Hills Have Eyes vibe from them.
But
I ended up redboxing it because I heard it was like an 8-hour game, and I'm like, there's a lot of other stuff I want to play. And I made it to the second major boss, and then I put it down. It actually creeped me out. I have this, it's not really a spoiler, but I have like this fear of like weird elongated limbs or something. And this one played right to those fears.
It's so good.
So I put it down for like a day, and I'm like, okay, well, I'll rent it next week. And then a Yakuza came out, and I forgot about it. So I got to go back to it. I'll talk about Yakuza in a little bit, too. Actually, let me go ahead and talk about it, because that's the next one.
No, why not?
So Yakuza came out the week afterwards, and holy shit, it's such a good game. It looks great on the PS4. For those of you who don't know, Yakuza 0 is, I wouldn't say like a Japanese GTA. It's more like a true crime, I guess.
It's, I hate when people call it a Japanese GTA because it's not.
No, it's not.
It feels like a spiritual successor to Shenmue, without the budget and without the amount. Like, granted, there's still a fuck ton of things to do in Yakuza, but there's not nearly the world isn't nearly as detailed as Shenmue, which is I am honestly okay with because that means they can get the games out faster.
I don't know. Go ahead, sorry.
I mean, I can't, like, go to a phone booth and, like, dial a number and learn what the weather is tomorrow. Or dick around so much that the guy who killed my dad gets impatient and kills me.
Or stalk NPCs for days at a time as they go along their, like, daily routines.
Yakuza's always been, like, that's the game that people wanted. It's like what you wanted from Shenmue. Distilled down to like you know what it is.
I've been having so much fun though. I think I've got maybe like 20-30 hours in it, and I checked my completion. I'm at 13%, and that's with me doing like all the sub stories and things. Characters great, visuals are amazing on here. Someone actually did comparisons of like the locations from like the older games, and it just I mean of course they're different generations, but it still just blows it out of the water. It has somewhat of a Saints Row 3 feel to it for me, mainly with the sub stories. I mean, yesterday I bought a small child some pornography. I get to watch softcore porn on it, like not full motion video, but like actual like DVD or Blu-ray quality for softcore porn.
Did you play 4?
Wow.
Did you play 4?
No, I didn't play 4.
So you didn't get to see a morning Musume give you a massage, and it was really weird and awkward. That was great.
That's what these are. It's basically you watching gravure videos, and it just kind of is awkward.
But I'm pretty sure their face technology is better in the PS4. But their face technology.
No. The softcore porn videos are actual videos.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. I mean, we've all played Metal Gear Solid 2, so
yeah.
It has a lot to do with sexual stuff. It's hilarious. There's things that I haven't unlocked yet, including like hostess games, cat fights. I just unlocked a property management game that nets profits for me. And then yesterday I had the funnest time playing. You go to a boys' telephone club, which you know you have calls from ladies and you try to get them out on a date. It's like a Japanese thing. And it's a shoot 'em up game where you have to seduce the girl, picking the right words of what you're going to say. And it's so exaggerated because, like, when he starts, there's a phone call that comes in and it gives you the button prompt for you to, like, press the button. And it goes super over dramatic as he picks up the phone. Like, the screen flashes. There's, like, lightning bolts behind you. And then he just picks up the phone. He's like, mushy, mushy. And it's just amazing. Karaoke is so much fun on there too, And I haven't checked, but I want to see if any of these songs are actually like 80s songs that have been licensed.
So, but sure, they're very, they like their authenticity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, to be honest with you, when I was playing Yakuza like 3, I think I was like I was trying to reuse like my like Japanese skills from like college to like comprehend, like read the signs, because it's just so accurate. It's so great.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, my favorite character is neither one of the two characters. It's Mr. Libido. He's this bald guy in tidy whities walking around, and he jerks off all day, according to him. Like, he's like, you talk to him, and what you do is you exchange information on hot women so he can go back and beat his meat to it. Like, this is verbatim what the game says. But it's been crazy fun, and for a feel-good game, I truly recommend it.
And well, I hope it gets, I hope people buy it.
Yeah.
I haven't played it, and I feel good buying it, because then that tells Sega that a copy is sold and they'll release more, because it's always been an uphill battle trying to get that into States. We didn't even get the Samurai one. I would love to play the Samurai one.
Yeah, no, the Samurai one looks super good. I almost, like, I came very close to buying a copy, even though I don't have a PS4, just to kind of, like, vote with my money.
And then they released it, like, Dead Souls, you Western, like, zombie shooters, right? And I'm like, no. And then that tanked, and people were like, well, we tried the West. Well, fuck the West. You know, that's kind of how they felt.
Rex, if you can, grab a copy, because they're only doing one run, and lots of GameStops have already sold out.
Yeah, I saw.
I saw three today at Fry's, and that's it. And I went to a couple GameStops. I was looking for Marvel vs. Capcom 3, because that's also a physical limited run.
Yeah.
Looks so pretty, though. Marvel MVC 3, it's 1080p and 60 frames per second now.
Nice.
So. Yeah, I'm going to pick it up on PC eventually, but unpopular opinion, I didn't really like MVC 3 a whole lot.
I enjoyed it.
I tried.
I like it as like a, just, let me just sit down and mash some buttons and get some aggravation out.
That is a very mashy game, though. Mm-hmm. That is a very mashy game.
Yeah.
As long as I'm not playing with any pros, I really don't care if I lose or win. It's just fun to watch the characters on screen.
That's how I always felt about, like, Marvel vs. Capcom. Because if you are a pro, if I was fighting against a pro, my body will not hit the ground.
Yeah, it's going to be up in the air the whole time.
Yeah, that's terrible. I hate it. I'm just like, I'm just going to let go of my controller.
It's all three of your bodies, like, or...
Yeah, it's just like, boom, yeah.
I just thought that, like, even in that aspect, though, it was, like, a huge step back from MVC 2. Like, I wish there had been more joke characters.
It is. MVC 2 is just so great and pure. I loved MVC 2. MVC 3 is a good, like, modernized version of it, and I'm glad that there's some of the characters are there, but... Mm-hmm. I'd rather, if you put me on a desert island, like, you can only have one MVC, which, first of all, that's super specific and weird, but I will pick two on Dreamcast.
Yeah. And then, out of the four games I'm currently playing right now, which I don't know, I think that's giving, that's part of why I have a headache for the last couple of days, because I keep trying to juggle all the stories. I also got Nier, and that's been excellent. I've been a big fan of the first one. Mm-hmm. This one is just following through. Taro makes some crazy games. I love him.
Taro, yeah. Cuter Android, 2B or R. Dorothy Wainwright? Dorothy! Stop playing that piano. Sorry, I love that. I love Bigos. I'm sorry, I just love Bigos so much.
Me too.
It's got to be 2B for me.
You got that AS.
Yeah, and it's funny, I don't know if you guys saw that there's, like, a way you can take off her skirt.
I've seen,
I had not seen that.
Just that high cut, like, that, what do you call that when you have, is it high
leotard?
Cut?
Leotard? Like, the leotard? High cut leotard?
When that leotard goes, like, really high up your side, it's high cut? I don't know. I don't know women's clothing. What's the name of her partner?
2S? No.
2S?
2B, 9S, 9S, sorry.
9S, well, why 9S, like the iPhone that's going to be like 5 years from now?
Yeah.
All right.
And then there's one.
Sorry, I was like wondering what his name was. No one ever talks about him. Everyone is like, 2B is hot and cute and sexy. Oh yeah, also 9S if you want to play, you want to do hacking mini games and you know. Yeah.
All the different kinds of games that you come in there. It comes in. They've got a shoot 'em up. They've got your platforming. They've got little hacking mini games. They have, and then they have your regular kind of open world stuff. The best thing out of that game though is the music. As it was from one. Not saying that the game is bad, because it's, like, the story is great. The game, it's got platinum style fighting and combat, so that's always good. And but the music is just god tier.
That's how I was heard. How does it compare to like Bayonetta or like Revengeance in terms of fighting?
I don't know. It is different.
How can like Platinum have the same formula but somehow mix it up and makes it interesting? It's Platinum. I love you guys.
I think this one might be a little bit slower.
Okay.
And it allows you to do better inputs.
Okay.
From what I played, and granted, I didn't get to play it like too long when I like hung out with you last week. It did feel a lot slower, but it also felt a lot more simplified from Bayonetta 2.
Okay.
Which is what I was kind of expecting going into it, given that it is like an open world RPG.
By the way, quick aside, I love that Bayonetta 2's loading screen is you being practicing her moves, because that's like well needed.
Mm-hmm.
but it's really cool because you have a pod following you around, and while you're fighting, your finger can be on the right trigger, or not the right shoulder button, and you could be firing, and then you're locking with your left trigger, and then you could also do like your pod super move with the left button. So your hands are going to be busy the whole time you're fighting, which is, I like that.
My hands would be super busy with 2B now that.
You guys.
Oh, God.
And she reminds me a lot of Lightning from Final Fantasy 13.
All right.
She's got like that hardened. I mean, she knows she's an android.
Yeah.
So she's like, yeah, no emotions allowed. While like 9S is like, hey.
Hey, I'm relatable, Kun. I read a lot of reviews. I really want to play it, but like right now I'm doing like only one game at a time, because I'll go crazy after that. But everyone's like, yeah, she's so badass. But 9S, he's relatable. He's like, he's the one you're going to like.
Yeah. And it's weird because I've laughed a lot at that game. There's a mission where you have to save like a little robot girl from from like being in the middle of a desert. And all the way home, she's asking 9S all these questions about like, hey, you know, why is the sky blue? You know, why is there wind and things like that? And then her last one is like, how are babies made? And
oh
so,
boy.
And so 9S is like this little, he's like a good boy. And so he doesn't know how to answer it. And she keeps bugging and just their interaction together is hilarious. Not only that, but I stepped into a robot orgy at one point. Like full on, there's like, there's these, I don't know, 30, 40 robots banging away in the middle of like this little, like just plain area. But I've been,
I heard it's also like long for a platinum game, like 20 plus hours.
Yeah, I think it ends up being like 40 to 50 hours if you finish all the sub stories too.
Yeah, well, it's a Nier game though, so Yoko Taro wants you to play the fuck out of his game.
Oh yeah, 26 endings.
Damn. But aren't there like a bunch of joke endings? Like if you walk the wrong way at the beginning of the game, you get like a dumb ending.
Yeah. Because, it's funny, if you die before the first save point, you have to start all over.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, no, he's aggressive with all that stuff. So I have to beat the game 26 times now.
All right.
But the good thing is when you beat the game, it starts you like an hour or 2 hours away from the actual ending. Yeah, the certain endings require more time, because I remember the first Nier. You beat it, and it only had four endings, but after you beat the game once, The other three endings you started halfway through the game.
I want to see Yoko Taro's like flowchart, because like Drakengard, like ending like three leads to Nier, so like three or four leads to Nier. That's not the baby eating you ending, by the way, which is like so fucking scary. But but like yeah, and then one ending from Nier leads to Automata, so you're like, what the hell? How does he do that?
They're so interconnected, and it's like the thing is that you can play each game without playing all the other games.
Mm-hmm.
But for those that play it, they gain so much knowledge of everything else.
Yeah, yeah. It rewards fans, but it rewards fans, but doesn't keep away new fans, which is you know, good game. You gotta get more people into the game. You can't be impenetrable.
I think that's pretty fucking genius if you have that many games out and they're connected without having to be connected.
Yeah.
You know. Then the other thing that Rex got to experience when he was over here was my Switch.
Ooh. I didn't know y'all were into that.
God damn it.
Good thing. I was hoping you caught on that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, when you said my Switch, I'm like, hey. Hey, guys.
No, I got the Nintendo Switch. Of course, I got Breath of the Wild for it. I like the Nintendo Switch. I'm happy with it. I do not regret my purchase. Just since I have Yakuza, Nier, Overwatch, and Breath of the Wild, I don't have a lot more spare time for games, so I didn't pick up like Bomberman or Binding of Isaac or anything like that. Breath of the Wild is huge and enormous. I'm maybe about, I don't know, 10 hours in, and I still need to search around for more stuff. I've been doing the grind beforehand, You don't level up or anything like that, so. Yeah. But you.
Yeah, I don't own a Switch, but like, I read a lot about Nier Automata, but I did not read a lot about Breath of the Wild, because I heard like you discovering things is like part of the fun of the game, so I didn't really want that ruined for me.
Yeah, like there's a group that I'm in that classifies any information about the game at all pretty much as a spoiler that you have to put behind a content warning, so that should tell you everything about Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, you're just like, what the hell is Delver Dare? What the hell is that? What the hell is flying over my head? When I play it eventually, maybe the end of the year, I don't know, I want that feeling, because that makes me feel like a kid again when I play video games. Like, not the unknown, and that's very rare for games nowadays.
The only thing that frustrates me about Breath of the Wild is, remember how they were like, hey, you see that mountain over there? You can travel there, right? I look at it, and I'm like, fuck, that's a long ways away. And, I mean, you can teleport through certain things that I won't say, so I don't spoil your experience, you fucking diva. But, no, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
It's fun. It's a fun game. There was a lot of problems saying that the dock I was gonna say the Vita, because it kind of is like a Vita, but the dock for the Switch makes it slow down when you put it on a TV.
Really?
Like, yeah.
Weird.
Well, because the screen is meant to go 720p as the handheld.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know, getting a 1080, or I think the max is 700 resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Or not 700, yeah. 900 resolution, yeah, on a 65-inch TV.
Yeah, when you plug Zelda into the dock, it doesn't just upscale it. It redoes the internal rendering resolution to 900p. So,
but it looks gorgeous.
But it's slower, right? Frame rate is slower or whatever?
It's noticeable when it gets really busy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you're just like walking around and stuff, it looks great. Rex, did you have any problem with it?
No, I was about to say I'm a huge stickler for stuff like that, but it really wasn't as bad as I was expecting. Like, there was, when I played it docked to the TV, I only noticed like super noticeable frame drops in two locations, where I was like, wow, that animation looked kind of janky for a minute. But yeah, it really did not look as bad as I had expected it to.
Yeah. The system itself, it's got good battery life for me. I charge it every night, but I've never had like my Joy-Cons go down.
What other games you got on it?
What's up?
What other games you got on it?
That's it for now. Like I said, I've got too many games right now.
I was going to say, that's fine. I mean, like, I don't, I, it's like other than like Breath of the Wild. I didn't know what other like warped games are there in the launch window.
Bomberman, I heard, was really good. Master Blaster is really good.
Yeah. I want to play that.
Oh my god, so the Wii U got, or not the Wii U, fuck. The Switch got a port of Waku Waku 7 from Neo Geo, which I thought was really cool. Was like, yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, Waku Waku 7, the joke fighting game from Neo Geo, got ported to the Switch already, which I thought.
Okay,
sorry,
I had to look that up. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, no, it's a really good game that I'm surprised, like, especially like this early in the console's life, like it, I don't think it was a launch title, but it came out like a couple days after launch, so
I love the list of the platforms: Neo Geo, arcade, Saturn, Nintendo Switch.
Mm-hmm. God, I need to get this now. I didn't know that came out.
Yeah, it's super good.
Holy shit,
it's apparently
holy
really
shit,
good too.
But they're like, hey, hey, welcome to E3. Actually, we're going to do Panzer Dragoon Saga on the Switch. I will break down someone's door by a Switch.
Oh, man. That'd
be great. Like, every Saturn game.
For some reason, I thought Windjammers was on there, but I checked, and it's going to be an Evo 2017 game.
Yeah, because they're porting it to PS4 and Vita.
Ah, damn it.
Yeah, it's coming
Windjammers.
Out
yes.
soon.
What the hell, my Vita?
Well, they came out with The Binding of Isaac. They have Shovel Knight on there. And they have, which is really cool because it's getting that new content later.
Yeah. They got, is it a time exclusive to the new content for
Shovel
Knight?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, that's one of my favorite games in the past 5 years.
They ended up getting 1-2 Switch, which I heard was horrible.
Yeah,
not,
I heard that too.
Horrible, but it's like you play it once and okay, that's fine.
Yeah, it should not have been sold separately. That should have been a pack-in game.
Yeah.
And whatchamacallit, what's that? Oh, I forgot. Go ahead. Oh, the sneaker. I was gonna say sneaker pimps, but what's that other game?
What?
Six Underground.
Sneakers, that game from original Xbox where you're the mouse.
No, sneakers, a Robert Redford game.
Snickerdoodle. Snippersnaps.
Snipperclips.
Snipperclips. God, we were all wrong. Jesus Christ.
it's SN something, guys.
SNM.
Yeah, I heard that was pretty fun.
SNM something?
Snipperclips looks really good. One of my coworkers went to PAX and got to play ARMS, apparently. Yeah, and he said it was really good.
Okay. Watch it be like an Evo thing next year.
Mm-hmm. it's an Evo thing this year.
Really, ARMS? Yes. I kind of want to watch a stream of that. That sounds interesting.
Just watching.
Yeah, I just want. I mean, I watch some Evo streams when it's up.
I'm saying I'm laughing at like just seeing the players like swing their arms finally get.
Oh
tired.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh god, freaking.
But I'm excited for the lineup. I mean, they've got Splatoon 2 coming out.
Splatoon. This shit is called Splatoon.
Mario Kart Deluxe, which is great.
I'm excited for that because I didn't really put any time on Mario Kart 8.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Oh, man. Mario Kart 8 ruled my life for quite a bit. I bought all the DLC and...
Yeah, but like, this will bring back you going to other people's houses and play Mario Kart on the Game Boy Advance like I used to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not just that. It's got split screen. Yeah. So, and then it comes with two controllers already.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I remember going up to like... Mario Kart DS. Yeah, Mario Kart DS with a... Just I would like go to a Christmas party with a bunch of my college friends and we all just like hang out, pull out our DSs and just like... Play. It was great.
Sit in the corner and everybody would be like, fucking nerds.
They're fucking nerds. Oh, you don't have the cartridge? Here, you can play a Shy Guy.
God damn it.
I do like all the memes that came out of it of like, you know, hey, what the, why, like that commercial where the girl brings it to the party.
Oh, Karen! Like, damn it, Karen!
We're having a party here.
Karen, we're having a fucking party. You bring our Switch again?
Man, once Jackbox for Switch comes out, though, like...
That'd be fantastic.
It is getting a release on Switch, like Jackbox 3 is. That's going to be so good, like, on the tablet at parties. Bring yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's going to be nice. Actually, oh, the beer place next to me on Tuesdays, they now do Quiplash Tuesdays.
And also, there's a Humble streaming bundle that has a bunch of Jackbox stuff in it right now for cheap.
I recommend just getting the full thing, though. Jackbox is worth getting.
Yeah.
I did. I was like one podcast I listened to, and they did like a Quiplash on Twitch, and I was playing with them, and we all just made Robert Loggia jokes.
Our Quiplash sessions, man, I love them. Mm. They can't be shown to like most of humanity, but they're great.
Yeah.
still my favorite Quiplash moment was I was having like a Christmas Thanksgiving party over at Jill's cousin's house, and there was this sweet 14-year-old girl who was playing, and then we played the game, and there was like, this is so-and-so's favorite soda, and then someone said like pea soda, which is like and then someone said bleach, and I was laughing my ass off, and then when the name showed up and it was a sweet 14-year-old girl, I like nearly died. I was like, oh my god, it's you.
It was great. I played it at we had a little Christmas party with my family, and I brought it out, and people were like, what the hell is this? And so we did a couple of rounds. People were, you know, getting into it. We were doing the stupid things. And then I'm like, you know what? The training wheels come off. And so I started like doing it, like vulgar things for Quiplash. And people were just like, or my family was just like, oh my God. Like, wow. And then my nephew, who's like 16, 17 right now, started joining me also. And putting in like super vulgar, super funny things. And then it just, my entire family got like incredibly vulgar. It was amazing.
That's so good.
Cool. Jackbox, bringing families together through vulgarity.
Yeah.
But back to the Switch, Rex, you got to handle the hardware, my hardware.
Yeah.
Oh,
man. What'd you think of it, Rex?
So something that I really liked, more than anything. All right, so I'm just gonna preface this. My favorite controller of the last pretty much ever is Wiimote and Nunchuck combo, specifically in games that don't require motion controls, because you can just kind of like rest your hands and you don't have to like hold them together, and it's just, it feels really comfy. I'm also a huge fan of like one-handed controllers. Like, I've got an ASCII grip from PS1 that I use on just about everything. And
me too. Controllers, yeah, me too. But wait, you're Automata with a one-hand controller? I'm sorry. God damn it.
But yeah, I like that the Joy-Cons, you don't have to have them snapped into anything, so you can just kind of like rest your arms and do whatever with. I'm actually, because I've been playing Shovel Knight for the first time too over the last couple weeks, and I'm playing it on Wii U, and playing it with, like, a nunchuck and Wiimote, and just kind of, like, setting my hands in my lap, or laying in bed with, like, my hands to the side, and getting to do that with the Switch, like, Joy-Cons is... It's so nice. I'm glad that's a thing again, because I really hated on Wii U how a lot of games either didn't have Wiimote and nunchuck compatibility, or they let you use the Wiimote, but it was, like, Mario Kart, where you had to use motion controls.
Ugh.
And I don't actually like motion controls a whole lot, but I do like the Wii U and Nunchuck as a controller scheme. Option, but yeah. I'm happy that the Joy-Cons exist and they'll be used. They have to use them because they're like the primary control. So every Switch game you'll be able to play like that. And apparently they also already work on PC with like Bluetooth connectors and stuff. So. Ooh. Yeah, if I find a pair for cheap over the next couple months, I'll probably get one just to use with my PC.
Nice.
Yeah.
I don't know. For cheap, they're like $80 a pair.
Right yeah, now. They're.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like finding them cheap is a total pipe dream.
All right. So, do you have an extra controller, Jesus, or do you just have the actual console?
Oh, I have two controllers.
Ooh, okay.
Well, because the Joy-Cons are two controllers. I only have one one set.
Oh, okay. All right, I was going to say, I was like, ugh. Well, yeah, they're so expensive.
I was thinking, it's like, why do you really need another set of controllers for what they have out right now.
Yeah. That's true. That is true. And you gotta, since it's like the price point's not that bad and it's a portability, if you have friends that are into gaming and who are into the Switch, you'll probably have their own and you could just play together.
Yeah, you can just link them all up together.
Yeah.
Have a big old Switch orgy.
I'm excited for I'm kind of bummed that the Virtual Console is not out in launch, but I'm like, because I just want to play some old games sometimes.
So, I'm really worried about Virtual Console because Square Enix just announced today, actually, they announced a Seiken Densetsu collection for Japan that's just a ROM dump of the Game Boy and Super Nintendo, like Seiken Densetsu 1, Final Fantasy Adventure, and then Secret of Mana, and then the third one that never came out over here. They're just ROM dumps on a cartridge. So that has me a little worried about Virtual Console if Square Enix is already charging like $50 for ROM dumps.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I am not paying fucking like, $6 for Excitebike again. I mean, seriously.
Imagine
if Nintendo was nice enough and it was just like, hey, you know what? If with your Nintendo account, you can just switch it over to the Switch.
What if they have like, and again, I hate having another subscription I have to fucking pay for. $50 a year, Nintendo Plus or whatever you want to call it, but then you get like free unlimited access to like Virtual Console games. That would be great.
Well, what they already said that they're going to do is they're going to have their online service.
Crush your dreams.
They're going to have an online service and they're going to give away a free Virtual Console game a month.
Okay, see, that's not crushing my dreams. That's actually pretty good.
But you don't get to keep the Virtual Console game after the month. You just get to download it and play it for free that month.
What the fuck? Is this like Sega Channel? What the hell was that?
Apparently. But there was, when they announced that, they also stealth announced that, at the very least, NES Virtual Console games are going to have online play added, which is really cool and not something that Nintendo's messed with in Virtual Console since, the original Wii, which had two online-capable Virtual Console games, one of which was, for whatever reason, the Sega Genesis version of Street Fighter 2, or Super Street Fighter 2, and then I can't remember off the top of my head what the other one was, but apparently they're going to add it to at least the NES games on Virtual Console.
So you could play, like, Mario 3 with someone that's not in the same room with you.
Stupid.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I don't know. I really hope they get their price stuff together, and I really hope, like, I really don't want to even have to rebuy the games again. I'm really hoping, because something I found really interesting is Virtual Console on Wii U died out for quite a while, right until like literally the week that the Switch launched, and then Natsume and Konami started adding a bunch of stuff to Wii U Virtual Console, including fucking Konami. I didn't realize. Yeah, they did add Harvest Moon. Natsume did, but Konami fucking added TurboGrafx-16 Virtual Console to the Wii U like four years too late, and after the Switch is already out, they started adding games to that and like ported that over. So I'm really hoping you can just transfer your games over without paying, because a lot of people are gonna feel stupid for buying that and then having to replay it again.
And like, I have a lot of Game Boy Advance games I missed out on. That's on my Wii U.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love playing it on the Wii U gamepad. And if I can do this, have the same kind of experience anywhere without being like 10 feet away from the console, I would love that.
Oh, yeah, no, like that would be, it'd be so good. I'm really hoping they figure out their emulation shit with Switch Virtual Console too, because with the exception of like Game Boy Advance, I haven't messed with the TurboGrafx-16 emulator yet, but with the exception of like Game Boy Advance and DS emulation on Virtual Console on Wii U, everything was really not that great.
I'm excited though. It looks like a solid system so far, and God, I can't wait for Mario Odyssey.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna
get. Very excited for that. But and also the pricing for the Senku Densetsu, it might just be Square Enix, because Square Enix is Square Enix.
Street Fighter 2 is coming out for $50 and over here too, so
I saw that and I'm like, why are you doing this to us? It's not like we only own Street Fighter 2 and like 10 different consoles, okay? You fucking guys. Sorry about my original Xbox.
This one has first person mode and RE engine though. Don't you want that?
God damn it.
Yeah, that's actually a thing that they added. It's just a motion control game where you like shoot Hadoukens at bad guys with mixed assets from both Street Fighter 4 and Street Fighter 5 running in the new engine that they did for Resident Evil 7. But man,
you get the hero from Mugen, the special Mugen character, Evil Ken.
Mugen. I'll put Mugen on the Switch. That'd be great. I could play Homer Simpson versus, you know, Invader Zim. It'd be great.
I'm surprised no one's tried to do like a commercial version of Mugen with like Little Big Planet style character DLC.
Oh yeah, I mean, Fighter Maker is the closest you can
get. Yeah.
On the original PlayStation.
Well, speaking of Square Enix, we're going to go down to our last game. We saved it for last just because Ryan has... How many hours do you have in it?
I just hit 100 the other day.
God. Nice.
Well, it's an open fucking world. Final Fantasy 15 is an open fucking world game. And I like... I mean, this is weird, but I fucking love to grind RPGs. I like turning on my... Like, if I have a hard day, I just want to sit down and just like kill a bunch of monsters. And all I have to do is hold circle... And then you go, and then, you know, oh, sometimes I have to hit square to block, you know. Now I don't have to because I have that fucking item that lets you block automatically. It's ridiculous. But, it's what we don't have a shortage of in this gaming cycle we're in is open world fucking games. Games that are like open world, it'll take you 50 fucking hours at minimum to beat. Near... Final Fantasy 15, Witcher, Watch Dogs, all of them, all the games. Oh, Breath of the Wild, open world games with a shit ton to do. So I've just been doing that. It took me a while to find me like, fuck it, I'm gonna beat the game since it throws me back to the open world and play it. And I got invested in it. I love the characters. So I want to learn more about them because they do go missing throughout the game and it's supposed to fill in the gaps. And there is a lot of gaps in that game. I always say that you're like, hey, Final Fantasy 15 is the fastest starting Final Fantasy game. You don't have to wait 5 hours of cutscene. That is false because the cutscenes that they give you beforehand, they put in an anime in that movie with freaking, what's his name in it? Sean Bean.
And Aaron Paul. From Game of Thrones.
Yeah, which fucking... Aaron Paul sounds like Aaron Paul, and I cannot get my head out of fucking either Todd from BoJack or fucking... what's his name from Breaking Bad? And I'm just like, I cannot buy... I love you, Aaron Paul, but I can't buy your acting while a fucking behemoth's behind you and you're throwing blades and teleporting. You know, and Sean Bean... Not a big spoiler because this happens in every fucking game. King dies. Sean Bean dies again.
Oh man.
Well, you know that when you start the game too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so. I like he dies again. And I'm like, fucking Sean Bean, thank you. But it's a fun game. And there's a lot of flaws. And if you just and you're gonna play it straight without like doing your homework. Speaking of homework, they just released the beat 'em up game. That's a side. That's also one Jesus of the requirements Christ. To play for free, which was only a GameStop exclusive. But they released it for free for both Xbox One and PS4, and which is it's okay. It's fine. It's like 30 years. Oh, like not 30 years. It's like 15 years before Final Fantasy 15. So it's yeah. You play as young King Regis. Yeah, it's just so much around it, and we were joking about it. Like, yeah, they have a long ass plan for that game, which is I'm fine with. That's a game where I'll forget about it for 4 months, and I'm like, oh shit, new content. I will play that new content just because I want to know a little bit more. And yeah, it's the most I've ever played a Final Fantasy since 12. which it's coming out soon too. I'm excited for that.
What I'm really excited about is I want to say, is it at GDC they were talking about, like, because it's not a very, like, well-kept secret, they're going to do a PC version eventually. But something I am excited about is they said if and when they do release the PC version, it's going to have mod tools because they want players to make their own quests for the game.
Oh, yes.
So, like, that with mod tools would just... Oh, man. And they said they wanted to make them, like, easy to use modding tools, too, so...
Yeah, flirt with Cindy 10 times.
I'm excited about,
kill three giant Ludafreus.
Someone needs to do a whole campaign of, like, cup noodle missions.
Oh, God, that fucking, like, fucking freaking broke the game for me. I was playing it, and guys, it's like, you could even look it up on YouTube. So... The guy Gladiolus, who loves cup noodle. He goes missing in the game. That actually gets covered why he goes missing in a DLC that's coming out next week. Anyway, he comes back, and then he goes, "Hey, Noct, I learned something when I was out." And then literally after he says that, the recording of him changes. It's the same voice actor, but it's more like a more subdued, monotone way because he's reading ad copy. He was like,
"That's so good.
There's something that I learned, blah blah blah." It's like, you need something that's delicious and that's ready to make. And then it fucking had me pick what kind of, like, meat I like on it. Eggs, shrimp, or beef. And then I had to do a quest for that. And then after you do that, go camping and cook the food, they all talk, all four of them were like, "Yes, cup noodle is the best. It is fantastic." I'm just like, fucking God, kill me now. This is terrible. This is horrible. But it was too much. It was like, and then there's a cup noodle truck in one of the main cities. There's billboards everywhere. I'm like, I get it. I fucking get it. You paid so much money for it.
That makes me so happy. Like, it reminds me of that episode of Community where they have the KFC. It was a whole giant, like, thing for product placement, but they wrote it into an episode as, like, the KFC, like, space simulation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not the most egregious product placement, I think. It's a little bit of a spoiler, but it doesn't spoil too much. Later on in the game, you go to Alticia, which is, like, this beautiful... It's Alticia is beautiful. It's, like, super Venice. It's so beautiful. And, you know, the whole game is you're supposed to marry... You're supposed to go and meet Luna Freya and get married to her. Of course, shit happens. Video game, things happen. Anyway, you show up, and then they're like, "Hey, have you seen that dress Luna Freya is supposed to wear? It's made by Vivian Westwood. You should go look at it." And I'm like, what the fuck? And then I had to go through the entire city of Alticia, which is a huge-ass city, and then go look at a thing and says Vivian Westwood on, like, big. And I'm like, that name is not even part of the canon. No one there. It's you're supposed to have weird Italian-sounding names. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
There's also the Audi car.
The Audi car is in Final Fantasy Kingsglaive. I have a big problem with that because... There's also a lot of product placements there. And one of the product placements is Air Japan. And if you're going to have fucking Air Japan inside the main city of Insomnia and Final Fantasy, there's no Japan in EOS, guys. Why the fuck did you put a billboard for Air Japan? It doesn't make sense.
How do you know? It might be in some other part of the globe, and you don't know that.
I don't know. It's UN globe. Probably. Hopefully. You can fly to Japan. Yeah, and you're just
there's
like,
also that Audi. Did you see that they made one of them?
Really, they did the Audi from Kingsglaive. It's a nice Audi.
Yeah, no, they made one, and I think they raffled it off.
Oh man, I actually want the if I had, like, unlimited money, I would buy, like, a Chrysler and have it mod to look like the Regalia.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, actually, it reminded me a lot of the car in Logan.
Okay, Logan.
Watch Logan.
Yeah, but. Yeah, I need to watch it, Logan. Fuck. So behind.
Oh, it ended up going for $470,000.
Oh, damn. But yeah,
that one Audi.
It's Final Fantasy 15 game you could get lost in. It's fun. And like I was mentioning earlier in the show, I've only been playing one game at a time because been so busy, and if I play multiple games, the chances of me beating both games, like two or three more games, will drive to zero. If I just concentrate, I'm like, it's game time, and I'm going to play that one game, then I would beat it. And I did. And I'm now there's a lot of post-game stuff in Final Fantasy 15, which I'm like, I want to play, like, just a bunch of the hidden dungeons, and I have more powerful weapons now. I just want to beat the hell out of it and then play episode Gladdy Daddy next week. Yeah, I've also been playing a lot of Mario Run, which you guys will have next week. Oh, no, Rex has
it.
Yeah,
I've already had Mario Run. I did not pay for the extra levels, but I played everything that was free and really enjoyed it.
I did, and I'm really enjoying it. And then when I'm sitting on a toilet, and yes, it's always on the toilet, I'll play a rally race, and it'll be fine. And I think I might get all the coins just to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So but I have not.
Oh,
I said I have not played Fire Emblem Heroes yet.
Yeah, I haven't either.
That audience, actually, it was 400. It's 470,000, but since there's only one, there was a raffle to be able to buy it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't want that. I want a Regalia. Oh no, I want the Regalia F type, which flies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
No. That also, by the way, that the flying Regalia, which you get after you beat the game. Tricky to land. Very tricky to land because you can crash.
I've heard that.
It is ridiculous.
People are just like dive bombing it because they can't land it.
Yeah, and then also it's really funny because like one of the hidden dungeons, you have to like land precisely in a like unmarked location to get to that dungeon, and it took me like 10 tries.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to reload to get it. It's terrible.
Yeah, so that's going to go ahead and end our video game episode. It's been a while, but instead of saving the world or making it a better place, all we've been doing is sitting around
and
playing video games.
One last thing real quick. Blade. That happened right before we started the episode, video game related. Somebody found the lost, unreleased version of Plumbers Don't Wear Ties for PC and has leaked it onto archive.org.
What is this?
Plumbers Don't Wear Ties is a formerly a 3DO exclusive FMV game.
Okay.
The description... Let me just go to Wikipedia and read you.
Please. I am not familiar with this.
It's fucking great. You can kind of play it on YouTube, but I recommend like looking up a playthrough of it and watching it because it's pretty bad. I'll just read the plot real quick. A full motion video clip features the character Jane introducing the player to the main objective and basic rules of the game. Yada, yada, yada. In the early 90s, Los Angeles locals John and Jane, originally from Ontario, are both being pressured by their respective parents to find a suitable spouse. John, a plumber, is told by his mother to go to her house with John's current girlfriend, Amy, for dinner at 6 p.m. Da-da-da-da-da. Basically, that happens. There's a weird fucking chase scene involving this old guy that's trying to have sex with the girl for, like, $5 million. And there's, like... It's just fucking weird. Watch it on YouTube. It's like The Room if The Room is a video game.
Okay. All right. That's all I needed to know. Okay.
Great. Yeah, like everything down to the box art is just really fucking...
It's an FMV game made in the 90s for the 3DO. That's stuff I like.
It came out around the end of the 3DO when... the 3DO company was being really, like, loose with what they were allowing on their system, so it's not a porn game, but they advertised it as one and tried to sneak it in with the porn game so people would buy it.
Okay. Okay, so but I can't see a titty.
Yeah, you don't get to... Damn. I don't think there's any boobs in it.
Damn it. It's like staying up on HBO and watching Taxi Cab Confessions, and you're like, I don't see a titty here.
Mm-hmm. You do get to see a really cool like clip art of a race car for no reason. Like
that is my aesthetic.
Out of nowhere.
I love it. I love it.
Well, the months ahead of us are already going to bring us a lot of things. I mean, we've got a couple of conventions coming up. We have what else do we have? We're going to be busy.
Mm.
But we'll hopefully be back in 2 weeks. When we come back, maybe we'll have some stuff from Anime Matsuri since we'll be there.
Matsuri. Matsuri. Sorry. They say during festivals, like Matsuri. But I don't know.
All right. Sorry, guys.
Actually, no, it'll be before Anime Matsuri the next time we come back. So maybe before Matsuri, we'll gather a little survey of what people want us to ask people at Matsuri.
Yeah.
And we'll
tell us your favorite anime thing. Memory.
What is your favorite anime and why is it Boku no Pico?
What's your favorite space anime and explain why grappling ships are the stupidest thing ever?
And I mean, while we're on the subject of animes, we'll run down a couple of reasons why Sword Online sucks.
Number one, I don't know. Number one, it's shitty dot hack. No, I'm kidding. I'm gonna get.
Number two, it's not Boku no Pico.
Number three, it's not made by Hideki Anno. I only watch anime made by Hideki Anno.
But no, we'll have a form up, so we can we're gonna read the questions before, and then when we come back, we'll get the answers from everybody.
Yeah. What's your favorite anime?
But bear with us. We're doing very important things by playing these video games.
Who's your wife? And why is it R. Dorothy Wainwright?
Okay, but for reals, though.
It is R. Dorothy Wainwright, yeah. Right?
I love R. Dorothy Wainwright. She's so great.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. All right, well, we'll be back in 2 weeks, hopefully, and if we don't get distracted. There's no other video games coming out, so.
Just this week, we have, Turok 2. Yeah, Mass Effect. Turok 2 Remaster that I want to pick up. Tokiden 2 came out on Steam also. And 100 Foot Robot Golf finally came out on PC.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I want to play that real bad. Another one?
That's a VR game, right?
Yeah, well, I don't think the VR is only on PSVR. Like I'm looking at the Steam page right now, and the PC one doesn't have VR. Oh, but weird. What it does have are the most, the cutscenes are the most accurate parody of, late 90s anime, particularly late 90s anime fan subs, that I've ever seen, period. And it's worth, at least watching videos of the game for that by itself, if not, straight up buying it. When I first saw them, somebody posted, some clips of the cutscenes in Cool Freaks Games Club, I crapped all over myself.
I just bought it.
Good.
So, cool. Never mind. We'll see you guys when we're ready.
Yeah. Yep.
So now hopefully in 2 weeks we'll be back. For myself, Rex, and Ryan, good night, Space City.